So we're going to have our reading, which is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8 into chapter 9.
The reading's on page 1162 of the Red Pew Bible, starting at chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And now chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad the gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God.
So just a few thoughts from this passage in Corinthians, because this is a time of giving and this passage is all about giving. We celebrate what God has given to us, and he's given many, many things to us over such a long period of time. And we come to say thank you for that. We think about giving towards our United Appeal and the moderator's special appeal. There are always opportunities to give, many opportunities to give. And Paul's writing this letter to the Corinthians. And the background of this is they're raising money to send to the church in Jerusalem. The Church of Jerusalem, which was the mother church where it all began and blossomed out from there, was in difficulty. To the Christians in Jerusalem, they were facing great persecution. Their goods were being confiscated, and to add to that, there was famine. So things were tough. If you imagine that church, if we were experiencing famine, if the government were seizing our goods, our property, under lots of persecution, we're having a tough time. So Paul is raising funds to send to the church in Jerusalem. And he's writing to the Corinthians in Italy. But he's holding up another church as an example of giving. And that example is from the church in Macedonia. And those first nine verses in chapter 8 is looking at the church, which is a poor church. Now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. Paul uses them as an example of giving. This is a church that was a poor church. The people in Corinth could look at the people in Macedonia, and it was like these were the country bumpkins. These were the people not quite as sophisticated. They lived in a whole different world, a whole different system. And thinking about people in Macedonia, I don't know what the equivalent is in Ireland. Maybe talking about someone who comes from Kerry. Does anybody come from Kerry? But there's just something different about these people. Not quite as sophisticated, sharp, on the ball as the Corinthians. And yet Paul's saying, look at this church. This is a really poverty-stricken church. And yet they long to be a part of this. They wanted to be a part of this giving. Out of their extreme poverty, they gave. And not just gave, but gave generously. What an example to everybody. There's been various surveys taken around the world about the Christian church and about giving. And in all the surveys, it's exactly the same. That those who are the poorest proportionately give the most. And those who have plenty proportionately give little. Every survey that's done shows that. And I suppose in a way that's scandalous, isn't it? That those who can least afford it give generously. And those who can well afford it, give not so generously. And that's what Paul is saying. Look at this church in Macedonia. Look at their background. Look at their poverty. But look at their generosity. So they gave out of extreme poverty, but they also gave out of genuine discipleship. Verse 5. And they did not do as we expected. This is the people in Macedonia. They didn't do as we expected. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. They gave them first to the Lord. And that's where giving begins. That's where giving begins. It begins by giving ourselves first to God, the example of us all. So it's about giving ourselves to Him. All the good things, we can do many good things and not be Christians. We can do many good things but not give ourselves to the Lord. But these Macedonians did that. They gave themselves first to Jesus. They said, we give our lives to you. We will follow you. We become true disciples of yours. And then out of that, they gave themselves. They gave out of their poverty. They gave what they had. Everything. So they gave out of extreme poverty, but they gave out of true discipleship, because that's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Where we give, where we hold nothing back. Later on, Paul's going to say about giving, because God loves a cheerful giver. The word cheerful in the Greek is a word that means to give and not to count the cost. You know, sometimes you can give and you think, oh, if I hadn't given that, well, I could have done this with that money, or I could have gone there with that money, or whatever. But no, to give cheerfully is to give and to forget it. Just give it. Give it no second thought. Don't give reluctantly, but just to give out of our generosity and not for dwell on our minds. And that's what Paul's asking these people to do as well. The Corinthians, as it says in verse 7, excelled in many things. Look what they excelled in. But you have excelled in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us. They excelled at many things. Wouldn't it be great if people could look at us and see how we excelled at everything? Our hospitality, our music, our welcome. But he says to the Corinthians, make sure that you also excel in this grace of giving. Don't let it be the one area that doesn't touch you. Some people, there is a saying about whenever we become Christians, the last part of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, the part that it reaches last is here. It's our wallets. It's our heart. Opening that up. We don't mind the benefits of becoming Christians, knowing that we have eternal life, knowing that our sins are forgiven. But there are many parts of our lives that can be closed, and that can be won. So he says to excel in this grace of giving. And then they gave generously because of what Jesus had done. Verse 8 and 9. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich. And that's our example. Jesus, though he was rich, became poor for your sake. He gave everything. He gave his life so that you and I could have life in all its fullness. So that you and I could have our sin forgiven. So that you and I could have eternity with him. Isn't that amazing? Eternity with him. Jesus is the ultimate example of giving. He gave everything for you and for me. And that's the model that Paul holds up ultimately to the Corinthians. And then chapter 9. This phrase that we know. Remember this, he says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. This is the law of the harvest, isn't it? We know it to be true. Whatever we sow, we reap. Those seeds, you plant that seed, which is a carrot seed, it's not going to come up as an apple tree. It just won't. It comes as it's meant to be. You reap what you sow. So if a farmer wants to sow that seed, he needs good seed. He needs fertile soil, and he needs enough moisture to make it happen. Those three things, good seed, good soil, rain, and it will grow. And that's the law of the harvest, and it can't be changed. You try to take away any of those things, and we're setting ourselves up for failure. And that happens for every aspect of our lives. Do you want to be fit and healthy and a bit slimmer? It just won't happen unless we plant good seeds. If I plant bad seeds in my body, cheese and onion crisps, huge bars of chocolate, but want to be fit and healthy, I'm not planting good seed into my body, but if I eat well and exercise well, I will reap the reward. You reap what you sow. What we read, where we go, the language we use, what are we sowing into our lives? The amazing thing is that the investment is always a good thing to do. It always reaps its reward. It always increases. So the farmer doesn't plant a seed just wanting to get back a seed. So you plant a seed and a tree can grow. A harvest will grow. You always get more than you give. The return is always an increase. That's the law of the harvest, and so it is with us as well. If we plant good things into our lives, we will see something develop. If we plant the seed of God's word into our lives, if we invest in this, if we say, I'm going to read it and study it, not occasionally, but regularly, allow God to water my life with this word. If I'm going to spend time in prayer, not whenever I'm in desperation, but just regularly planting that seed of prayer, if we plant those seeds, we will reap the rewards. Maybe not right away, but eventually. The farmer has to wait for that harvest, for that crop to grow. There is a gestation period, even in our lives. We come from a seed from our mom and dad. That seed took 9 months to develop and to grow. An elephant takes longer. Sometimes things happen instantly. It depends on the seed that we plant. But if we plant good seed, we will reap a good harvest. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to plant good things in our lives. Make a wise investment. And that's what Jesus said about investing our lives in him. And then verse 6 to 11, it talks about giving, investing our lives out of gratitude. Because God is no man's debtor. And very finally, verses 11 to 13. Just this about, ultimately as for praise for God. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. It's all about thanking God. It's all about him. Ultimately, he will get the glory. Didn't Jesus tell the disciples, if you do good works, people will see that and they will praise your Father in heaven. And that's what we want our lives to be filled of. Full of praise. Ultimately, our giving to the United Appeal is to glorify God. Ultimately, our giving to the Moderators' Appeal in Indonesia is to help people, but ultimately it's giving thanks to God who gave everything to us. But the law of the harvest applies to each one of us. Where do we invest our lives? Where do we plant seed? What is the seed like? If we plant junk in our lives, it'll be a poor harvest. But if we plant good things in our lives, if we plant godly things in our lives, then we will reap the rewards. We'll plant deeply. We'll put our roots deeply into our God and see the payoff. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each one should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly nor under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, an awful lot of alls in that, isn't there? So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God is no man's debtor. He has blessed us in so many ways. The breath that we have in our body is a gift from Him. The brains that we have in our head are a gift from Him. The skills and talents that we have are His. Our very bodies, every atom, belongs to Him. He wants us to invest our lives wisely, to give generously, and in so doing, we're being like Jesus Christ Himself, who gave everything.